This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Okay, so here's a question. Raise your hand if you've ever worked for a boss who was a bully. Not just mean or difficult, but downright abusive. We'll give you a second.
And on second thought, maybe you shouldn't raise your hand, especially if you're behind the wheel of a car. But if you've ever worked with an abusive supervisor, you're not alone. According to a recent study from the Chicago-based organization Career Builder, 35% of workers say they've felt bullied at work.
Well, the state of Massachusetts is considering a legal remedy to this problem. It's called the Healthy Workplace Bill, and if passed, it could allow workers to sue bosses who've caused physical or psychological harm.
And we say if it passes because this is the third time the legislature has considered the bill. It didn't get far in previous sessions. But the Healthy Workplace Bill raises important questions about how to create a good work environment. We spend so much of our lives at work. Why shouldn't it be as supportive and respectful an environment as possible?
But then again, when it comes to adult interactions, when we say bullying, what are we really talking about? Could the bill become an easy way out for disgruntled employees? And if 35% of people, at least, really do feel bullied at work, isn't there a deeper cultural problem here? I mean, why bring in the courts when what we might need is a profound change in the culture of work? So we're going to talk about the Healthy Workplace Bill, and we'd like to hear from you. Have you been bullied at work, and do you think a lawsuit is the answer, or maybe is there another way? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Well, joining us now in the studio is David Yamada. He's a professor of labor and employment law and the director of the New Workplace Institute at Suffolk University. He's also author of The Healthy Workplace Bill. David Yamada, welcome to Radio Boston.
Meghna and Anthony, it's a real pleasure to meet you and to be on the show today. Thank you.
So it's a pleasure to have you. And let's start off with the basic question. When we talk about bullying in the workplace, what are we really talking about?
Well, bullying at work usually comes in two major forms. When we hear the term bully, we usually think of the yelling and screaming boss, the boss who is always in your face, high decibel stuff that's sort of over the top. Now, that's one major form of it. But the other major form of bullying at work is the behind the back, indirect sabotage and defamation and whisper campaigns, attempts to undermine someone's reputation and performance in a way that oftentimes they don't know what hit them until it's too late.
Now, that we mentioned the Career Builder survey that said 35% of people say they feel bullied at work. I should say that they defined bullying as everything from being falsely accused of mistakes to being ignored, constantly getting criticized, being yelled at by a boss, being gossiped about, or even having someone steal credit for their work. All of these things are slightly different than what you were saying, but they're of a piece with that. Does that 35% number match what you've seen or researched in terms of workplace culture?
Other surveys suggest that depending on the measures you use, it's roughly 30 to 60% of the workforce will experience some form of bullying-type behaviors during their work lives. Now, I have to say that the legislation that I've authored is not meant to get at every one of those instances. It really is looking at the kind of stuff that is targeted, malicious and health endangering and harming, rather than isolated instances of incivility or nasty words.
Yeah, and forgive me for pressing you on this, but when it comes to sort of laws that have to do with behavior in the workplace, there's always a question of the burden of proof or the level to which a behavior has to be sustained for it to be one that can seek a legal remedy.
Mm-hmm.
So can you give me a specific example of bullying that you think might fall under the purview of the Healthy Workplace Bill if it passes?
Yeah. Let's take somebody who repeatedly rides someone again and again in a way that has nothing to do with improving their work performance. Maybe for some reason they've taken a dislike to someone, so they're also doing other things to undermine that individual's job security, spreading rumors about them, gossiping about them. In other words, bullying at work, in terms of what this legislation is designed to get to, is that kind of targeted, ongoing stuff that has a real personalized kind of intention behind it.
So intention's the key here. It sounds as if there has to be, you have to be able to prove some kind of intent.
Well, I believe that if we're going to address bullying at work through the law, we have to open that door very carefully. because you don't want to turn it into a free-for-all where every employee who gets angry at their boss runs to court and says, I've been bullied. So what this legislation requires is you have to show that the behavior itself was done with intent to cause pain or distress, and it actually is resulting in some type of physical or psychological impairment. And under the law, that's a pretty darn high standard.
That's a very high standard. In fact, and I mean, this has been some of the primary criticism of, say, sexual harassment law, where the burden of proof is actually pretty high, and it's really hard to prove exactly this thing, that there was a malicious or specific intent. And so, I mean, does that effectively make the healthy workplace bill something that is a good idea but difficult to practice in reality?
Well, the main purpose of the healthy workplace bill is to encourage prevention. So having that liability piece out there is really what's going to send the message to employers that, look, if you do not take this more seriously, along comes someone who is able to prove their claim, and all of a sudden you can get hit with a large damage award. In fact, the language of the Healthy Workplace Bill is modeled somewhat after what the Supreme Court has defined as a hostile work environment for purposes of sexual harassment. And it's a way of trying to make it sort of compatible with the types of preventive and responsive measures that good employers, at least, are taking with sexual harassment training, education, and prevention. Mm.
So there's so much to talk about in terms of the big picture of creating a supportive and productive work environment. And I want to ask you a little bit more about that in a moment. But specifically about the Healthy Workplace Bill, just talk to me briefly about what are the legal remedies that would be allowed if the bill is passed? What would a worker be able to do?
Well, if a worker wants to go to court on this, this would create a civil claim that would be brought in a court of law in Massachusetts. It would be in one of the state trial courts. And if the worker is successful, they can get the gamut of remedies or damages that would be available in what I'd call a personal injury or tort type lawsuit, or very similar to a sexual harassment claim. In other words, back wages, perhaps front wages, any medical expenses that somebody experiences, in some cases, emotional distress damages, and in worst case scenarios, punitive damages.
Okay.
But the Healthy Workplace Bill is layered in a way that encourages the employers to tackle these problems as early as possible. In other words, the more an employer disregards a valid claim of bullying, the more damage, the more liability they face in terms of punitive damages and emotional distress. So it's meant to incentivize prompt and fair resolution of complaints that come in about bullying at work.
Now, David Yamada, a few minutes ago you said something that was very important, I think, and that is that part of the intention of this bill is to catalyze cultural change in the workplace. Why do you think that introducing a legal remedy is the best way to do that? A lot of people would say, you know, that actually only makes things more complicated and even more fraught in the workplace because you have the long arm of the law as the shadow rather than from the ground up change.
Well, I think we've seen with other forms of mistreatment that unless the law enters the picture in some meaningful way, there's no incentive to prevent it. We saw it with sexual harassment. We certainly saw it with employment discrimination. And we've seen it in other realms, too, such as school bullying and domestic abuse. I wish it were the case that people, just out of a desire to have healthy, productive, high-morale workplaces, said, you know what, there's no place for this type of abuse at work. But over and over again, the survey data says that's not happening. In fact, there was a major public opinion survey done in 2007 by the Workplace Bullying Institute in conjunction with Zogby Pollsters, the same guys who do political campaign polling. And it showed that in 6 out of 10 instances where people reported bullying at work to their employers, the employers turned around and either ignored the problem or made it worse. So right now, this is just sort of wide open territory that most employers aren't taking seriously enough.
In fact, it's so wide open, As far as I can read, there's no extant law anywhere in the United States about this, or not one that's passed.
Yes, this would be a first. It's only within the last 5 years that this healthy workplace bill has started to gain some steam. Right now, for example, we have 39 sponsors in the Massachusetts legislature, and this bill is being co-sponsored by Representative Story and Senator Clark. And we've got several dozen members of the legislature who are behind this. In New York, they've got 74 sponsors for the legislation. So you're starting to see this idea start to grow more and more. We are well behind the rest of the world in enacting legislative and legal responses to this form of mistreatment. Most of the European nations, Canada, Australia, and many other countries have enacted laws in response to workplace bullying.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about, and a lot of callers who want to join us, and I'm going to bring them into the conversation in just a moment. But I do have to ask you, David Yamada, briefly, I can imagine there are some listeners out there who are thinking, okay, absolutely, we want workplaces to be supportive, productive, collegial environments. But really, like, when do we, at what point are we no longer asking adults to be adults? I mean, bullying on the playground is one thing and it's serious, but, and I don't mean to diminish the scope of the problem, but you know what I'm getting at, that some people might say, well, maybe you're just not right for the job. Maybe you ought to just stand up. Maybe you ought to just, you know, go to your supervisor or your supervisor's supervisor and say, hey, there's a problem here. Why do you need a law?
Well, a lot of people who have gone to that abusive boss or those abusive coworkers have paid a heavy price. Because standing up to the so-called aggressor or bully oftentimes backfires on the individual who's trying to engage in self-help remedies. So that really doesn't work. And a lot of people go to HR and the same thing happens to them. You know, HR basically sort of throws them under the bus and doesn't respond to the problem in a way that really gets at the core of what's going on.
Mm. Listeners, we're talking about the Healthy Workplace Bill. It's a bill under consideration on Beacon Hill that would provide the beginnings of a legal remedy for workers who are experiencing bullying in the workplace. I'm speaking with David Yamada. He's the author of the bill and professor of law and employment at Suffolk University. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Looking for your stories and your thoughts about how to change work environments in order to fight back bullying in the workplace. Let's go to Elaine, who's calling from Cambridge. You're on the air, Elaine.
Thank you. I am so in love with this guy. I can't tell you. He is really touched on everything that I wanted to bring up, but I will talk about my own situation. We had somebody that was working for the company I work for who bullied me in the office. He would throw all sorts of things at my head while I was sitting at my desk, whether it was a hard rubber ball or a toy or something. And I tried to talk to him about it. I reported him. At the end of the day, when I would go home, he would throw a flick knife against the wall where my head would have actually been had I been sitting at my desk.
That sounds like virtual assault to me.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, we, and this is not, it's not the first company that I've had this type of situation happen in. It's been at different levels. One was with an owner of a company, a very well-known company, and the other one was from this guy, and he actually was someone that the company felt was important to keep on. Nothing was done. I did report it to Human Resources. I did report it to the CEO of the company. He was eventually fired, but not for that. Mm. He was actually fired because he didn't perform well.
Elaine, thank you. I'm sorry to cut you off there, but I really appreciate you sharing your story with us. And I want to get David Yamada to respond to that. It sounds like Elaine's situation is one that would fall under the purview of the bill.
Oh, yeah. It's so despairing to hear these stories at times because I've heard them over and over again. And the experiences of people being subjected to this kind of work environment are exactly why we've filed this bill, why we've drafted this bill.
David Yamada, stand by for just a moment, because I do want to introduce another voice briefly into this conversation. He's Andrew Boddy. He's member of the Human Resources Committee for the Associated Industries of Massachusetts. He's also a business and employment litigator and director of the McLean Law Firm in Woburn. Andrew Boddy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Megan. I appreciate it.
So I understand that the Associated Industries of Massachusetts has a couple issues with what effect this bill, if passed, would have on the workplace as a whole and not just on workers. So what are your concerns?
Concern as an attorney is that this type of behavior, what's defined as bullying, is very subjective. And it's very difficult to put a legal definition on it. And I think what's going to happen is because the way the law is written, it gives the employee the right to go to court to address what they consider bullying. You're going to find yourself as an employer in court every time some employee who's disaffected or, you know, unhappy with what's going on in their career is either laid off or decides to quit.
Well, you know, David Yamada a little earlier said that there's a very high bar when it comes to proving intent here. So maybe that many cases wouldn't go all the way to court. And what he was suggesting is that this is essentially sort of a wedge in which to produce space for, you know, change to happen in the workplace, because it does provide a tool for people to say, hey, look, something's not right here. I mean, what do you make of that?
Well, let me say this about intent. Intent is a legal definition. And the problem in this case is that if someone files a complaint, this issue of intent is never going to be determined at the first instance on a motion to dismiss. So basically what's going to happen is the employer is going to be stuck with a case of going through discovery, which is the mechanism we use to find out, you know, who said what to who and what happened, et cetera. It's going to be 18 months of that. A lot of expense, and then ultimately it looks like it's written so that a judge will have to make a determination as to intent, as to what was abusive conduct, as to what was sabotaging or undermining the performance of the person.
Right. So on the edges of what I hear you saying is that it's going to be a lot more red tape and regulation for employers. David Yamada, I mean, what's your response to Andrew Boddy's concerns?
I share Andrew's aversion to turning all of these situations into lawsuits. One of the screening mechanisms, frankly, is going to be the role of the plaintiff's bar. Plaintiff's employment attorneys are not going to take these cases unless they're strong. And that is going to serve as sort of a triage mechanism for cases that are on the borderline. This is one of the reasons why the bill isn't written so that somebody can go to an administrative agency and file a complaint that has to be considered by that agency. Instead, there are various levels of built-in checks to basically sort of lead us to the point where it's the strongest claims that have the best chances of prevailing.
Andrew Boddy, we've got a lot of callers who want to join us, and I want to be sure I leave room for them. So one more question for you briefly. I mean, this is something we could spend hours and hours discussing, but I'm curious, from your perspective, if not a legal tool to combat bullying or abusive work environments, from the perspective of an employer, what would you do?
Well, I think it's already being done. Let me just give you a few stats of my own here. GDP in the country from 1900 to 2010 went from $20 billion to $15 trillion. Okay, I don't think if we have nothing but dysfunctional work environments that that's a possibility. In Mass, we're number 6 in the country on per capita GDP in the nation. And again, if in fact, you know, all employers are treating their employees as cattle, this isn't going to happen. You know, so I don't think it's quite the problem that it's painted as being. And on the issue,
well, people can work hard but still feel miserable at work, though, don't you think?
They can feel miserable at work. And, you know, the example that was given by that woman that just called, obviously that's a horrible thing. If someone's throwing a knife at you at work, I think it's probably time to leave the job. And you have the option in that case of course, filing a criminal complaint. I mean, that's I think, an extreme example. Where it's going to get fuzzy and where it's going to be a problem is these less extreme examples, okay, where someone might be hypersensitive to a boss that, you know, has a bad day and yells at them about something, and it happens more than once. Okay, now you're buying a lawsuit. And let me just say this. We have dozens and dozens of employment laws in the state, okay? The Mass Commission Against Discrimination in 2009 found that of the thousands of cases that were filed there, 82% lacked probable cause, okay? Well, in every one of those cases, an employer got sued, so to speak, and they had to get a lawyer to defend them. Okay, and there's an 82% lack of probable cause finding. And what's going to happen, you know, the plaintiff's bar, I don't know what they're going to do necessarily, but I can tell you what they've done with the Wage Act. What they've done is they've made a cottage industry out of suing companies that have misclassified employees as independent contractors. That was meant to address abuses in the construction industry with subcontractors and employees working there. What it's turned into is we're having lawsuits against adult entertainment clubs that are misclassifying exotic dancers.
Andrew Boddy, I take your point, and I think it's a good one about the fact that these laws, though well-intentioned, can often be abused as well. I'm going to have to say goodbye to you there because I do want to take some callers here. But Andrew Boddy, member of the Human Resources Committee for the Associated Industries of Massachusetts, thank you so much. Let's turn to Steve, who's calling from Cambridge. You're on the air, Steve.
Meghna, in my 20s, I worked as a busboy at a very fine hotel in Boston, and the maitre d' was European, as was most of the waiters. And basically, the form of instruction they used was fear and humiliation. You know, I had bad dreams every single night. But now I realize that it made me a stronger person. I learned the fundamentals of table service, and I was able to work much harder than I ever thought myself, and I have nothing but the fondest memories of these people and respect for them. So I think sometimes this idea that a strict and hard boss is not good is wrong, and I also think that we live in such a litigious society already that this kind of bill is just totally crazy, except for the lawyers who are going to make more money.
Steve, thank you for your call. A vote there from the What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger camp. But let's turn to Paula now, who's calling from Revere. You're on the air, Paula.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm a consultant, and I often get called into workplaces to resolve issues of conflict and bullying. And from my perspective, this bill is a very, very good idea for everybody. First, because it will save companies and individuals a lot of heartache, a lot of pain, both financially as well as psychologically. And it will make workplaces and managers and individuals stronger. When I get called in, oftentimes the dynamic has been going on for quite a while. And in order to resolve the situation, sometimes extreme measures have to occur.
Paul, I'm going to take it back from you there because I appreciate your point. We're running down on time, and I want to get David Yamada to give us his final thought here. David, I think these callers really run the gamut in terms of what reality is like out there for workers. I mean, we heard earlier from a poor woman who had a knife thrown at her head to folks who say, look, I had a tough time, but it made me a better person, to Paula, who's got first, you know, hand experience that when these issues start to get addressed internally, they do go away. So ultimately, where do you think your bill fits in terms of what, you know, what works or doesn't work for individual organizations, small and large?
Well, my mantra is that we have to promote community and well-managed workplaces. We have to discourage incivility, but we have to draw the line at abusive mistreatment. And that's what this legislation gets at. Now, the bigger pictures raised by your listeners are also important because I think the best way to avoid liability for anything like this is to create affirmatively a healthy, inclusive, and dignified workplace. And hopefully this bill will make at least a modest contribution towards that.
We've got just a couple seconds to go. This is the third session in which you've tried to get this bill passed. Do you have any greater hopes this time around?
Well, sometimes three is the charm. But in reality, what's going on here is we have three times the number of sponsors this session than we did last one. And a lot of people are saying this is an idea whose time has come. So I am guardedly optimistic about what's going to happen on Beacon Hill.
Well, David Yamada is the author of The Healthy Workplace Bill and professor of labor and employment and director of the New Workplace Institute at Suffolk University. David Yamada, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
And listeners, we still want to hear more of your stories about what the workplace has been like for you. And if you like the idea of the Healthy Workplace Bill, send us your stories. Give us a comment at radioboston.org. Stick with us because up next, we'll talk with a Maine Civil War hero in the Battle of Gettysburg. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.